Well, it's great to be back here. I was surprised today that several people knew that I was here in January. I didn't expect that people still remember that, but I'm really happy that I can continue to what I started in January. Although I do not have the time today to have a full mission PowerPoint presentation, I thought of showing those who have not been here in January a small video. So I will ask the technic people to just show us the small video, and then I will continue with the preaching. Oh, where's the tone?
Just cut, okay?
Hamburg is a big harbor city with 20 to 30 container ships or freight ships entering daily into Hamburg. And every year there are tens of thousands of sailors that walk through the harbor. You're really able to enter many ships, and it is unbelievably fun to meet these people. This is the boat report that arrives every morning via email, and here I can see exactly which ships arrived in the Hamburg harbor. The time is noted, the name of the ship, the flag of the ship, and the dock spot of the ship, so I can see exactly where the ships are located and which nationalities are represented on these ships. I actually wanted to become a banker, but I didn't pass the oral exam. Then I worked as a marine merchant, and through working in the shipyard, an interest grew in me to do more for sailors. For the sailors that I met on the ships through my work, to help these sailors. The sailor has a very difficult life. Usually the sailor is away from home for 9 months. Often he's together with different nationalities, so he might not even be able to communicate properly. On cruise ships, for example, there are oftentimes up to 60 or 70 different nationalities. You can imagine that it's not easy for the sailor to set foot there, to find fellowship and to feel comfortable. That's the beautiful thing. Sailors enjoy it when we visit them. The first time was very fascinating. We entered the first ship. We just picked one of the ships, and I actually still remember the name of the ship, Epimelia.
Good morning, are you?
So wonderful to see you again.
Oh!
Then we sat down at the tables with people. We talked with them about Jesus. We gave them a flyer that they could read, and that was fascinating. Also to see the openness of the sailors, how they simply listened, how they talked with us. And it also really moved my wife and me as they left the harbor. And we thought, now they sail out to the open ocean and they are lonely on the ocean. Who will encounter them there? Oh, that was difficult.
Okay.
Sailors are usually very, very open for conversation. They like to talk with us about faith, even if it's sometimes controversial. That doesn't matter. But they are very interested to talk with us about things that concern faith. And actually, they really love that we even pray for them, that we take their concerns seriously, and that we are really there for them. We not only want to give them the gospel and say, eat or die, but we also want to help them in very practical ways so they can see the love of God in our lives.
Just cut, okay? See? Adam and God separated. And they tried to repair the relationship, you see? Like on the ship, you have a lot of repairs. Adam tries to come back to God, but you see what happens? He cannot come to God. And the Bible calls this sin. The moment you ask Jesus Christ, please forgive my sin, please come into my heart, He will change your life. And your life will be connected again. And your sin is taken away. Because He's the only way to God. We don't preach religion. We want to share about a person who has truly lived this world and who is still living, who is acting, who can change our life, and who wants to change your life as well. He loves you so much. Thank you very, very much for listening so patiently. Maraming maraming salamat. You're a very kind crew. So thank you for holding this rope.
You don't want to lose it. You want to keep this good relationship, right?
Yeah.
That's very good. Great.
We have often invited many sailors to our home. That was a really great time. Wives have written us, for example, it's never happened in the life of my husband who's been a sailor for 10 years that he's been personally invited into a home. And when our children were young, the sailors took them into their arms, they hugged them, they had fun together. That was a really great time. And I think it was true for many sailors that they also felt like family here. And many have said, you are our family. This is our guest book, which we created especially for our sailors that have visited us. And they would leave notes in here. Look, this one is from the Philippines, like many are. Oh, and here are from Lagos, Nigeria. India, Burma, which doesn't even exist anymore, right? It's Myanmar. From Iran, Ghana, Cameroon, wow. Even from the Maldives. Half of the world has been here. So many different sailors. I have experienced on a very personal level how Jesus has changed me and what that has done in my life. I have experienced His peace, His love, His joy on a very personal level, even on an emotional level. And I notice that many sailors, when I talk to them, that they also long for that. To have security, to have a deep peace, to experience a love that they actually don't know. And that's our mission. That they really experience church, experience fellowship, and that they have Jesus in their midst.
Sorry, the time is not there. I could share you much more about what is happening among seafarers and how they receive the Word of God with a very open heart. But if you'd like to know more, Tuesday night is an opportunity. I'm invited to speak to the young people. I guess we are all young tonight, today. So feel free to come, and I will share more on Tuesday. I will also share a few pictures during the preaching of this sermon, but that will be later. Today I have a very important subject. I want to talk about one verse especially, and this is Proverbs 4:23. But first of all, I would like to ask you a question. What is important to your life? What is really important? What do you protect? What do you take care of? I'm sure there are many things that are very, very dear to you. For instance, your family, your children, your husband, your wife, your grandchildren, if you're my age, for instance. You will really treasure them. You will take care of them. Your health seems to be very important to you. Many people do sports. I don't do so much. But anyway, sport is a very important aspect of our life. I'm sure that we all take care of our bank account because nobody likes to be hacked. We all read terrible stories where people just hacked the bank account and problems started. I'm sure your pension might be important for you. Your insurances, the car, you take care of your car. If the car is broken, you need to repair it. It's not very, very nice. You don't want to walk to your work. You want to go with your car. You want to use the car with the family. It's very convenient. Maybe your garden is very important to you. There are many more things that seem to be really important. How about your hobbies? Do you have any hobbies? Can I see your hands? Oh, plenty of people have hobbies. Great. Your friends, you value good friendships. We could continue this list. We could go on and on and on. The question is, however, what is important in God's eyes? We always think about things that are important to us. That do we really ask what is important in God's eyes? What does God expect of me? What does God think about my life? And I came to this wonderful verse in Proverbs 4:23 where it says more, and please just stop at this one word, more, because that word is very important. It says, more than anything else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So here the writer of Proverbs says, it is the most important in life to guard your heart. It's more important than your health. It's more important than your family. It's more important than your bank account. I will read some other translations from that verse. For instance, it says, what I advise you now is more important than anything else. Pay attention to your thoughts and feelings, for they influence your whole life. This is a German translation, Hope for All. I read that again. For I advise you now is more important than anything else. Pay attention to your thoughts and feelings, for they influence your whole life. Another translation, the New Life Translation, says, above all, guard your heart, for your heart influences your whole life. More than anything else, guard your heart, for from it comes life. The heart is so important. The most important thing, even for us as human bodies, is our human heart. We cannot live without the heart. If the heart stops beating, that's the end. We all know that. You can live with one kidney, but you cannot live without a heart. You can live without arms or legs, but you cannot live without a heart. You can live with one lung, but you cannot live without a heart. The heart is so important. How much more the spiritual heart? Satan knows that if he wants to stop us in our Christian life, he just has to attack our heart. And the heart often, in a spiritual sense, is in our mind. It's not here, it's here. Our thoughts often determine what we do. Our thoughts lead us into directions that sometimes we don't want to go. And so Satan fights for our heart. We read in Genesis 3, 1 to 5, Satan seduced the heart of Adam and Eve by a lie. So the devil easily comes through temptations, through lies. He tries to deceive us. So it's important to understand who is talking to us. It's important to understand, is that God's voice or the devil's voice? We read in Acts 5:3, Ananias, why did Satan fill your heart that you lied to the Holy Spirit? So again, Satan filled the heart of Ananias by just telling Ananias, keep little money for yourself. You can sell that property. You give something to the church, but keep something for yourself. And Ananias listened to what the devil said. John 13:2 says, Satan had put into Judah's heart that he would betray Jesus. So always the heart is deceived. And that's why we need to take care of our heart. It's so important. We need to take care of our mind. What do we think? How do we react? What do we do? What do we talk to? I have a book that I would like to recommend. It's called New Life, New Identity. Maybe some of you have read that book. It's by Dr. Neil Anderson. And it talks about a new life through Christ, a new identity through Christ. It's a wonderful book. And another one is called Battleground of Thought by David Holden. So these two books I can really recommend. Now, how does the Bible describe our heart? We know Jeremiah 17, verse 9, a very, very popular verse. It says, deceitful is the heart more than all things, and incurable it is. Who knows about it? It is I, the Lord, who search the heart and test the kidneys to give to each one according to his ways, according to the fruits of his deeds. How can I know the condition of my heart? How can I know the condition? I think, first of all, we need to pay attention to what is going on in our mind. And we need to carefully see what do we think. What thoughts do we allow in our mind? Luke 6:45 says, the good man brings forth good things out of the good treasure of his heart, and the evil man out of the evil things brings forth the evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Or James 3:8-11, but the tongue none of men can subdue. It is an unsteady evil, full of deadly poison. With it we praise the Lord and Father, and with it we curse man made in the image of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. This, my brother, should not be so. So there is a real battle for our heart. We should really learn to examine our heart. When we have a heart problem, we often go to a doctor and he examines what is the problem with the heart. We might take medicine. But in the spiritual sense, we often neglect to do that. We don't go to the doctor who is above, to Jesus. We continue sometimes. And then we wonder why our life is not fruitful. How can I learn to change my heart? How can I learn to change that which is really disturbing me? You might sometimes wonder, why can I not overcome certain failures, certain sins? You might struggle with a few things. And you sometimes wonder, I've prayed and prayed and prayed, and I don't find the way to overcome. Why is it like that? Let me give you a few things from the scripture. I think the first important point is we need to learn to look to Jesus. Jesus once says in Matthew 11:28, it's a very simple verse that everybody knows, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Because if your heart condemns you, if your heart tells you there is something wrong, just look to Jesus. This verse is so easy to understand that even children can understand it. Come to me all, not some, but all, who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So let's start to do that day by day. Come to Jesus. Put your focus on Jesus Christ. Not on your ability to overcome, but on the ability that Jesus can overcome in your life. Jesus' thoughts were always focused on the Father. He never looked to himself. He said, "What the Father tells me, I will do." John 17:4 says, "I have glorified the Father on earth by completing the work he gave me." So Jesus looked to the Father and he obeyed and did what the Father said. Now, a second point to be able to cure our heart's problem is by filling your mind with the Word of God. Filling your mind with the Word of God. Why is that so important? Because the Word of God is simply truth. We need to fill us with truth. The devil brings lies, deception. The devil tries to manipulate. God never likes to manipulate us. God wants to give us truth. That's why Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Nobody comes to God except by Jesus. So we need to fill our mind, our heart, with the Word of God. I have started to do something that I did already as a child. Now I'm above 60, and I've started again to learn Bible verses by heart. I did that as a child. And it is such a big blessing. It's a huge blessing. Whenever I come into a situation where my heart tries to condemn me, I can count on verses I have learned, and I take the promises of God and put them against Satan, and Satan has to flee. If you are worried, if you are afraid of something, you take the Word of God and you give the Word of God to Satan. And let Satan read the Word of God, and he will flee. I have a few pictures from my last mission trip to the Philippines, which I like to show today, just now. And I want to show you something that I experienced with the Word of God. I was invited to speak to maritime colleges, to manning agencies, and to introduce our ministry. We were really treated, myself and my colleagues, we were really treated like kings. Because in Philippines, once you're a pastor, once you've written books like myself, oh, they just look to you like a king. So that's why here you see the picture. They greeted me like an official whatever. Anyway, the next picture. They put even the red carpet out, and we had to walk on that red carpet. And the next one, we met with a lot of high-ranking people. This guy will be vice admiral very soon. He's always talking with the president of the Philippines, with ambassadors and high-ranking people. And one evening in my hotel, I got depressed. I thought, how can I talk with these people? They are so experienced in shipping and what they do, experienced even in politics. Who am I to talk to them? Who am I to share the gospel, the Word of God? And I was so depressed in my hotel room that I thought, oh, why did I do this mission trip? And all of a sudden, I remembered a Bible verse that I had learned by heart. Can I tell you that verse? Isaiah 12:2. If you forget this preaching today, please remember Isaiah 12:2 can be a great encouragement to you. "For God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself, is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation." When that verse came to my mind again, all the depression was gone immediately. I was so encouraged how the Word of God can lift me up and give me courage to do the ministry. And then I could talk freely to this high-ranking person who is always dealing, that day even, he was dealing with the president, American ambassador, British ambassador, high-ranking Navy people. And I was asking him when he came into that office, can I pray for you? He said, yes. I prayed for him. He was in tears. And he shared his whole life to me. He says, I don't know how I can continue my work. I have so much responsibility. I don't know how to do it. Thank you for the prayer. But what I want to say is, I would have not experienced the victory of Jesus without taking the Word of God and putting it into my heart. It is so important that we use the Word of God in a day-to-day situation. Not only on a Sunday, not only on a Tuesday night when there is a Bible study, but we need to live with the Word of God day by day. Next picture, please. I was invited to speak to the 900 students here, and usually I would have said, that's nothing for me. There's too many people. I'm too nervous when there are so many people. But because of what I read, I will trust and not be afraid, because the Lord is my strength and my defense. I was so courageous that I could speak to the people. I believe if there were 50,000 people, God would have given me the courage to speak. Because the Word of God is able to transform, to change everything, change our feeling, change our fears. And this is why I want to encourage you, start to learn verses by heart. Maybe just one a week. Or even if you do one in every 2 weeks. So you have 2 verses a month. That means you have 24 verses in a year. In 10 years, you have 240 verses. That's a big treasure that you can count on. I still remember the verses I learned from my childhood. They are tremendous challenge, tremendous encouragement. And I really know that if I want a change of heart, it is only possible if I fill my heart with the Word of God. We always try to seek advice from people. That's good. That's helpful. We pray for people. That's fantastic. Don't stop to do that. But the most important is the Word of God that is given for all of us. Because the Word of God brings us into close relationship with the Lord Jesus. Next one. Next to me is a CEO of a company, 80,000 people employed. Humanly speaking, I would have shaken. How can I talk to a person like that? I have no experience. A person that has been so influential in Asia with companies in England and Canada and wherever. 80,000 people employed. And I should talk to her? I should bring the Word of God. Never. No possible. But again, the Word of God encouraged me. We had a great time. I could give her 2 books that I'd written. 1 book from myself, 1 from another guy. And it was a great time. And now that CEO even introduced our books, which we wrote, to other companies. So it's going on and on and on. Next one, please. We met with journalists from Manila Times, the most important newspaper in the Philippines. And God really dealt with it in a wonderful way. These 2 journalists opposite of me, they said, whenever you have something on your mind, tell it to us. We will bring it in Manila Times. So there was real openness. Next one. I was invited to speak at a maritime college here in Iloilo in the Philippines about the topic how to be a successful seafarer. And usually this is something, again, that makes you nervous. How can you speak to seafarers who are studying year after year? You're coming from Germany. You have no idea about their life. But the Word of God encouraged and supported. And I was able to talk to the guys. We had a great, great time. And now in one maritime school, I just got an email last week. We are able now to start with Bible studies. So God is working. He's going on. Next one, please. I think that's the last picture already. Yeah, that was the last picture. So I just wanted to use that example. You will all face challenges, and your heart will tell you, no way with me. This challenge is too big. It's maybe for Mr. So-and-so or Brother So-and-so. But with God in your heart, with Him at your side, with the Word of God strengthening you, equipping you, you can do everything. Like it says with Philippians 4:19. Yeah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. But remember, the devil is a liar. He can only do one thing. He tries to lie. And he tries to destroy our mind, to destroy our heart. He tries to discourage us. And the Word of God tries to encourage us. So I like to encourage you, take time, read the Word of God, learn even by heart. So by filling our mind with the Word of God, we can strengthen our heart. Lastly, by trusting in God's promises, our heart will be really strong. The promises are always the shields against the devil's attacks. If we take a promise of God, we can take that promise and show it to the devil. Say, this is what my God said. Go away, devil, in Jesus' name. Romans 5:5 says, for the love of God has been poured out into our hearts, not into our body, into our hearts, through the Holy Spirit. So we have the love of God presently in our hearts. Galatians 4:6, for as much then as you are children, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, dear Father. So God has sent His Spirit into our hearts. We can call God. We can say, Abba, Father, I need you. Ephesians 3:17, Paul prays for the Ephesians people. He says that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend this length, breadth, height, and depth. So Paul himself knew that the heart is under attack. The devil tries to attack the heart. So that's why he prayed for the Ephesian people, that they will be strengthened. They will be rooted and grounded in love. And the love of God is poured out into our hearts. We can resist the devil by these promises. Lastly, let me just read Philippians 4:8. It's a practical exercise to form and strengthen our heart. Philippians 4:8. Further, brethren, what is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, what is of good report, whether of virtue, whether of praise, be mindful of these things. Just imagine, there are so many things mentioned here. If somebody talks to you and he tries to tell something about a person, did you hear what this person did? Did you hear what he said? Do you listen to that? Do you continue talking with that person? Philippians 4:8 says, what is true we should think about. What is honorable we should think about. What is just, what is pure, what is lovely. These are the things we should think about. We should take to our heart what is of good report, what is of virtue. So we can take Philippians 4:8 and practice when we're in a difficult situation. And we can ask ourselves, is the report I heard true? Is it honorable? Is it of good report? Is it pure? Is it lovely? God wants us to act practical. Finally, let me encourage you You are not alone in your battle against the devil's schemes. We're all sitting in the same boat. You might feel you're the only one who always has this battle in his heart. No, I believe everybody has. But the question is, how do we react when the devil comes through his negative thoughts, through his lies, through his deceiving? What do we put against the devil's schemes? And I would like to encourage you, take the word of God, take the promises of God, and you will be victorious. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you so much for your wonderful word that you have given us. The word of God says it is inspired. It has no fault. It has no error. Your word is full of truth. And I just pray that your word will really change us and help us to overcome when the devil tries to go against us. We pray that you will help us this week to really live by your promises, to live by your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.